From the podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. It's Grant's Rants Small Talk.
Let the ranting begin. I'm back with another recap of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8, Episode number 3, The Apology. And I am joined by Housewives superfan and divorce lawyer, there's a twist, Jonathan Melton. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Yes, calling in from the great state of North Carolina.
Oh, yes.
And I love that you said before the show, New Jersey is your favorite. So Jonathan is a legit viewer. He probably knows the show better than me, so it's going to be good. Jonathan and I connected over on Twitter, and we decided, why not recap Jersey together? If you want to recap the show with me, let me know. I've got a few requests, so I'm interested. Let me know when I'm open to it. Let's talk about this show. I want to do a brief recap. You know, I like to look at the details, but also there's a lot of things that have happened. Overall, I'm encouraged by this season. I'm encouraged. I'm going to keep watching. How are you feeling about this season?
Jersey is back. I feel like they struggled the past few seasons. I think they have finally regrouped and hit their stride. I think Margaret Josephs was genius casting. I think she is going to be to Jersey what Dorinda is to New York, what I think Erica was to Beverly Hills. I think she is great.
Yes. I mean, it's so overdue. And I feel like my grandmother watches the show and she's like, oh, I don't recognize half the cast. And I'm like, that's actually a good thing. Like, they scrapped so much. A lot of people left, but, you know, they kept Melissa and Teresa, who they have to, and they've built around it, and they still have a little bit of that with Joe and the, you know, Joe Gorga. And
right.
But the new direction is encouraging, and I mean, I've really spent a lot of time analyzing this show, so I'm very glad that there's something actually there that I can sink my teeth into. So let's talk about it. Margaret is getting ready to premiere this launch party in 4 days for, I don't know what that was, for summer cosmetics bags? I don't even know what it is that she's putting out there, but so she's very, her husband is a slow contractor, and she talks about how he was so distracted by her pigtails when they met. I'm like, okay, I'm sure.
But I think most people probably are.
Yeah, a grown woman.
I was just more thrown off about the fact that, well, two things, that she's throwing a party in her house and it's not finished. Like, I'm getting a lot of Moore Manor, Chateau Charest vibes. Why do these housewives continue to film and film events in their house when their house is not done?
Not only that, if this is supposed to be such a successful business, why wouldn't she rent out a location? You know, I mean, why would she ever put it in her house to begin with? Why would she want people in her house for something? I mean, especially on a TV show, it makes it look like so small potatoes. You know, wouldn't you want to be out and get a nice venue, maybe in the city or in Jersey City or somewhere, to showcase all these products?
Well, I think definitely if your house isn't done, but she said this twice. Actually, no, she didn't say it. She tweeted. I was following her and she live tweets while the episode goes on. So I watch and I follow her Twitter. And she tweeted twice that they had moved into that house right before filming started, which makes me think she only got the house to show off on the show, and she couldn't wait to show it off on the show, so she wanted to throw this big party there. That's what I think.
Yeah, I thought, you know, if this house is so big, I just imagine that that room that was under construction would just be, you know, something they'd have to hide. I didn't think that would be the room that they would have all the cameras and the crew. You know, I thought there'd be another finished room in this big house, but I guess not.
I think filming in half-finished houses is just becoming the housewife thing.
Yeah. Well, she's fitting right in already. Episode 3. And she really is just a part of the show. So much so. She's like a natural fit. So I'll give her that. House and, you know, construction or no construction. But Siggy's still angry. And she's really upset when it comes to Margaret. And she's telling her husband all about this. And she's especially sensitive about the soggy comment. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, are we going to be able to get through this season? I mean, is she going to manage her? Is she going to be able to get through it if she's offended by something so minor?
Well, I think it's interesting. So we're seeing her husband this season, and yeah. he really wasn't on last season, and they didn't refilm the intros, so he's not in her intro card. It's still just her kids, but he's clearly agreed to film this season. So I think it's interesting to see their dynamic because he seems so mellow, and yeah. She is so wired.
Yeah, but he did encourage her, though. Oh, yeah, no, that's really uncalled for. Yeah, no, I can understand. Like, he didn't really, and from my perspective, he didn't really talk her down or, like, the other house husbands, like, kind of roll their eyes. He kind of, like, was like, which is, I guess someone could say it was a good thing that he was there for his wife and that he supported her and how she felt. I guess that's a good thing, too. But I thought that he would try to bring her down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, I just think watching their dynamic play out this season will be interesting. I think you always understand more about the housewives when you see their husbands. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably a big part of why they want the husbands on the show. And I'm glad that her husband is on the show this season, because I think we're going to see, we're already seeing a different side of Siggy, but now just seeing her dynamic at home, I think we're going to learn even more.
Yeah. Shout out to Danielle Staub, who never says no to an invitation. I mean, this girl,
she hadn't even been invited yet. Margaret said at the boutique, "I'm having a party." Danielle's like, "Great, I'll be there." And then Margaret's like, "I'm inviting everyone."
I love it. She's sniffing out the cameras and she's showing up. Yeah, because like I was, like you said, at the boutique, she's right there front and center. And it has nothing to do with her, because it's all about Melissa and Margaret, and, you know, talking business. And Margaret says that Siggy blocked her on social media. I think this is one of the stupidest, most passive-aggressive things. I had a roommate block me once when we lived together. I mean, you know, I know these women aren't living together, but they're at the beginning of a long season. You know, so uncalled for and so awkward.
Well, Siggy has blocked me on social media, so I feel your pain, Margaret.
Really?
I think that, yes. I tweeted that I thought she was acting nuts about the cake, and she blocked me. I've always been a fan. I think, am I not allowed to disagree, Siggy? But I think blocking might just be her thing. But
wow. I mean, I can't imagine you would come at her with, like, a bunch of F-bombs and, like, this stupid bitch. Like, I can't imagine you tweeting that to her. So I don't know what would prompt such a response just because of a disagreement.
Well, and I'm not filming a TV show with her, I agree. Like, you're going to have to work with this woman for the next several months. I mean, blocking her on social media and then declining the invitation to her party, it seemed very high school to me.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Especially because she said, "I'm politely declining because of the events in Boca." Like, oh, I mean, just I wouldn't even talk about that anymore. I would just say, you know what? If I wanted to decline, I would just say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going. It makes her look so much worse that it's because of the events in Boca. That what were the events really? I mean, other than that cake toss, I mean, oh, this one, she's exhausted me, but I'm intrigued. I like it.
Well, I mean, I think, oddly enough, Danielle actually identified in that scene why Siggy was upset. You know, she was like, "I think she's upset because she brought you on and she thought maybe she could lean on you a little more." Mm-hmm. So I kind of get that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it calls for blocking her on social media, declining the invitation to her party. And then she hangs up the phone by saying, "Have a nice life. Goodbye." I mean, don't you just say, "Margaret, before I come to your party, let's sit down. I'm very upset about what happened in Boca. Let's talk about it." I mean, that would be, I think, the more... I mean, she's a relationship expert, right? Like, this should be natural for her.
Oh, I forgot about that. I totally forgot that she's a relationship expert. This is how she handles a new friend. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Insight right there. I didn't even think about that the whole time, because I was like, this one's just an emotional mess. But, you know, she can't even process that with relationships. I don't know. This show was never a good look for her. I still can't recall a damn thing she did last season. I don't know. I know Wendy Williams, I don't know if you watch her, but she's always hating on Siggy for being on the show.
Yeah. I will say, I am glad with this season that we're getting new drama. I mean, last season, all they talked about was the fight on the porch and the sprinkle cookies. I mean, now we're fighting about a cake, but at least it's like a new dessert argument. I'm glad that there's new arguments this season. And I think Siggy I think she's kind of being set up to be the villain this season.
That's the difference. You're right. It's new arguments. That's true, because it's been all the same stuff from, like, I remember I was like yelling and screaming when I recapped it last year that, you know, we were talking about things from 2011, 2009. Yes. Like, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, we're going to flashbacks from like season 2. I mean, it was so stale at that point. It was really gross. So, yeah, I'm fine with the cake. So I don't really have much of an interest in Dolores and Frankie. They went to a steak dinner and Frankie's trying to go to school and keep a girlfriend. I don't have any opinion on that. Do you want to say anything about them?
I literally wrote down, I don't care about this.
Thank you. Well, we're on the same page. Moving right along. Yeah. I love that you wrote that.
I did.
Siggy and Teresa get together, and Siggy gives Teresa a pass, basically, for getting caught up in the moment, as she put it. Of course, Siggy's not stupid. She's not going to fight with Teresa. She's not going to do it, so I'm not surprised.
I love their friendship. I think that the two of them together are great, and what I wrote down about this was, this is nice, I love their friendship. Yeah. I don't know. I like their dynamic.
I do, too. I like that. I mean, even though I was just saying, like, of course, she's not going to fight with Teresa, I do like that Siggy isn't carrying that venom over to Teresa, really. I wonder where she stands with Melissa. I guess that'll have to be revisited coming up. But, yeah, I like that they were able to get past it. I mean, it can't be Siggy against the world, even though no. I'm tired of Siggy and Dolores already. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But Teresa asks Teresa asks about her behavior, about Siggy's behavior, and, you know, Siggy says she didn't really mean it, like, about, you know, basically being, like, the mom of the group before they walked into that woman's house, that over-the-top swim lesson and all that. I guess that was just her being, you know, she didn't really mean what she said. Okay, she wrote a fine. But she's still mad at Margaret, and there's a huge issue. She says it's a huge issue with her, and that she hates the effing bitch.
Yeah, she hates Margaret. I don't get it, but she hates her.
There has to be more. I always say this when I recap these shows. Is there more? Maybe there's something with production. Did Margaret go behind someone's back and ask for more money? Did she get a better room on the first cast trip? Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure it out. Other than her not inviting her to the wreath ceremony, and then her leaving the party, and then her taking the other people's sides with the cake, there has to be more to it. I'm always looking into production in my mind. You know, there's got to be more than meets the eye.
Oh, I agree. I definitely think it's some sort of production issue. I also think the way she was brought on the show was odd, because she was brought on as... So, like, Siggy knows her employee, and her employee was probably like, I have this boss who's rich and eccentric, and she should be on the show, and she probably put Siggy in touch with Margaret. Did you catch that Jody woman in the first episode, been to, like, 16 of Siggy's book signings?
Oh, okay, I'm remembering now.
So just the whole... I think she's a great fit for the show, and they did a great job of just integrating her seamlessly, but there's something odd about how Margaret got on this show,
yeah.
And I think that might be causing some of this problem.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts about all the housewives, and a lot of people have been calling that out about their relationship. They're questioning just how genuine their off-camera relationship has been, and up to this point, how well they know one another. And I think you're spot on with that. So
I think it might have been where Margaret and Siggy had some understanding, where Siggy's like, I'll get you on the show, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours too, and maybe she feels Margaret didn't uphold her end of the bargain. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah. Well, it could very well be. Anyway, Joe Gorga surprises Melissa with some strip mall restaurant. And I can understand why she'd be pissed, especially after we had to sit through him being a misogynist all last season, bitching, complaining that she had to open up her own place and it was going to take time away and all this. But when they went in, I understand that he bought it for his dad. I get it. I do understand it. But I mean, obviously, I'm all about communication. So if someone's doing something like investing our money into a restaurant, you better well know that I need to know about this. So I can understand why she's pissed. But I understand in general, he's doing it for his dad. They're trying to keep their minds busy and stay distracted. And you do what you got to do.
I agree. I thought it was very sweet that he did it for his dad. I will say that I thought it was bad that he told his dad before he told his wife. Did you hear him say, like, I told dad yesterday about it, and she's finding out right then. So that was not a good look for Joe Gorga.
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember, like, these two are sleeping next to each other. Like, he had the opportunity to tell her. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a bad look.
Didn't he already do this with that garbage truck business, too? Like, what happened with that?
Oh, I don't know. He claims he's an entrepreneur. Yeah, what happened to that? Because he didn't reference that. He just said, oh, I can't just be in, he didn't say real estate, but in development or whatever on everything. So, I mean, the whole thing with them back in that house is very odd. I can't figure them out. I don't know. These people who are entrepreneurs, like Alexis Bellino's husband, what do you really do? Just buy and sell businesses?
But you know their house is back on the market.
Oh, it is? Really? I didn't know that.
I just read that this week. I don't know why.
We'll see how long it lasts this time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So Teresa heads to New York with the MVP of Teresa Checks In. The only watchable character on that for me was
her
this lawyer.
Yes,
this lawyer who, like, I mean, his Q score and Bravo must be quite well because people love him. He's like the only voice of reason.
He's also like the most familial lawyer. I mean, he's like, he goes to their house, he gives them hugs and kisses, he drives their kids to school. I mean, I don't do that for any of my clients. Maybe I'm not like a good lawyer, I don't know. But like, he's just very integrated into their family and their life.
Well, it's that's great. It. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because yeah, I want to talk to you about Teresa. What would she have to gain if she were to finally divorce Joe? And given that he's up for possible deportation, he's been in jail, what would that process be like for a client of yours? Just big picture.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest issue in their case, I would think, is going to be the custody of their kids, because if he is deported and she ultimately says, I'm not going with you, you know, this relationship is over, I'm staying here. I mean, he has a right to see his children. I don't think that a judge would ever allow him to take them to Italy with him, certainly, but he's going to have time with them, whether that's them going to Italy and what that looks like or him coming here. But it's going to be a big problem for them. I mean, they have, what, 4 girls? And if their dad's living on another continent, that's going to be a huge issue.
I really hope that he isn't deported, and that's so weird because I feel like I know them through the show, but if I didn't, I mean, it's like I'd be like, oh, well, who cares? But I don't know. I hate to say it, but I think, you know, given our current political status in this country, despite whoever they voted for, I think that he's probably screwed.
Well, I mean, I think Teresa's a pretty open Trump supporter, right? I mean, she talks about – that's odd to me too, because he's being so – Trump's so hard on, you know, I guess people who are not here legally or people who are here and then commit crimes. I don't know. I mean, I think the other big issue in their case is obviously finances. Typically, when you see one spouse committing some sort of like financial wrong, it's a way that the other spouse can maybe get more of the marital estate or more of something else. But not when they've both done it. I mean, Teresa was convicted of the same thing as Joe, so they're like on even footing there. As much as she wants to say it was his fault, and I believe her. I mean, I really think they had a traditional marriage, and she signed what she told him to sign. But you know, legally, she pled guilty to a felony the same he did. So they're almost on the same footing there. I don't think divorcing him is really going to get her any extra favor on that sense.
No. What do you think? Do you think she'll ever get rid of him?
I didn't until I started to read excerpts from her book. And I actually wrote that down when we were talking about when they were in there in the book scene. It almost seemed like her publisher was like prodding her to write dirt about Joe, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because they were like, if you go deeper, this will be financially rewarding for you. Like, were they basically telling her, like, we'll pay you more for this book if you spill dirt about Joe in it?
I think so, and I don't blame them, because we've seen her time and time again on every show gloss over the whole debacle and, you know, just talk about her daughter. I'm only worried about my daughters. I'm only worried about my daughters.
Right.
I mean, you can only use that line so many times, and I'm sure that's what was in the book. I honestly have not read her books. I'm not that much of a tree hugger to be bothered reading them, so I don't know what was in the last one, but I would be interested in this current one if she really is open and honest. But I think we're going to get a lot of that on the show, so why do I have to read the book?
Well, first of all, if you're going to get her book, you need to get the audio version that she reads, because hearing Teresa try to struggle through reading her own book is probably the greatest gift you will ever get from that book.
Oh my God, I'd love it. I only really listen to audiobooks anyway, so yeah, that would be very entertaining. Just the excerpt from like 2 seasons ago or whenever. No, last season, when she was like right out of prison and like right into the recording studio.
Yes, I wrote down in the scene with her at the publishers that you would never just pick Therese out of a lineup and think author. There it is. There's the author.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess props to her for making it work.
And she looked great.
she looks fantastic this season.
Yeah, I will say. Well, when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at Margaret's launch party, and we're going to go, I'm going in deep anyway, on this, how unprepared she was. That and more with Jonathan Melton in a moment.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking Real Housewives of New Jersey with divorce lawyer and Real Housewives superfan, Jonathan Melton.
Hello.
Hello. Are you ready for this launch party?
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about it. The house is a mess. I don't know why, again, why the hell didn't she rent a hall, a place, go to the brownstone? I mean, you know, anywhere.
Oh, at the brownstone. I just like that she's like, let's put as many glittery things on the wall, and let's literally just throw confetti on the floor and see how much of this we can cover up with decorations. Because that's what, they're like walking around throwing glitter on the floor.
Oh my God, it was a mess. I would have went in there. I would have had so many comments. I don't even care. It would have been great for the cameras, like just to clown all of it. I mean, you know, she's having to go to the neighbor's house to heat up food in the middle of winter. It's always winter when they record this show. I don't know why, but it's always winter. And like they're taking this food back and forth. There's no way that food is still hot. I wouldn't be that complimentary. I'd be kind of pissed. I mean, you know, this is poor planning. That's what I would say. Because if you're going to entertain, you have to do it right or not at all, in my opinion.
I agree. But you know what? I think it's a housewife trend now, so we're stuck with it.
Yeah. So over at Siggy's house, she's having the saddest slumber party, the Margaret mocking slumber party. And Dolores is there. They're both in pigtails. And Dolores talks about how she sent a text to decline going to this party. And she says, they say that Dolores claims that it was a loyalty thing, something that she's not sure that Margaret is familiar with.
Okay, so this aggravates me. First of all, they are literally having a rival slumber party in matching pajamas, and Dolores brings Siggy a BFF photo. I mean, we were absolutely in high school at this point.
Ugh.
But
I know.
The thing with Dolores is I don't understand the loyalty argument, and at the end of last week's episode, when Teresa and Melissa storm out, why did Dolores chime in and be like, I'll make you a doggy bag? Like, that's such an unnecessary dig at Teresa. And I don't understand why she's so ride or die for Siggy and isn't on Teresa's side at all. Even though Siggy and Teresa aren't really fighting, I feel like if you're friends with everyone, you sort of just, don't just stay out of it? I don't know.
I think she should have went to the party. You know, it's a group ensemble show. You know, Siggy, it's her choice to stay at home, but, you know, Dolores shouldn't let Siggy dictate her role on the show. So that's what I think.
Well, if you wanted to be a really good friend, I mean, if Siggy's clearly on the outs with everyone, maybe you go and try to see if you can bridge it, you know, bring everyone back together. I don't know.
Yeah, she could have went there on Siggy's behalf, you know, and not really said anything, but she could have just been there to stand up for her. They all said, well, we know we're going to be a topic of discussion. Like, you know, it's like a classic Housewives. The minute someone leaves the table, like OC is famous for this. The minute someone leaves the table, who are they going to talk about? So, I mean, yeah, they were setting themselves up for not being there. But I think it was a mistake in that library when when Margaret sent the wrong housewives, so many in my head, when Margaret sent that text, because I just thought it was a bad idea. I don't know, you know, it shows that they are spending their time, as we saw, talking about Siggy at her own party, you know, at Margaret's party. It just felt like, you know, that shouldn't have been done in front of the whole group. Do it afterwards. But of course, we know how this goes.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I think that was probably a little production prod, right? Because, I mean, they know they've got the cameras up at Siggy's house, and obviously they're filming at Margaret's party. So, you know, let's get the text and the reaction to the text on camera, because we've got cameras up on both places right now. That was probably, I think that was prodded.
Yeah, oh, I think that's smart. I think that's right. Teresa did let Margaret know that Siggy said that she hates the effing bitch. So but I have to say, like, Margaret's just like laughing at all of this. If this was any other city, this would be like a huge problem. You know what I mean? But I like these New Jersey women. You know, she's just kind of like laughing it off. Like, all right, we're just going to send her a text. We're just going to get to the bottom of this. Like, I'm not even going to bother with her right now. Like, I mean, even though that's all they talked about, but I kind of like it.
effing bitch, we're cool with it.
Yeah.
Garbage or trash, we're going to throw stuff across the table. It's so odd to me.
I know. I love how Danielle is just on her best behavior. I mean, they're probably cutting everything that she's saying because I know she has an opinion on all of this. So I'm just like watching this one show up with that fiance on her arm. I want more from her, but we'll get it.
I'm getting very seasons 2 and 3 Camille Beverly Hills from Danielle, where she knows that she can't go full villain mode or she'll be hated again. So I think that Danielle is trying to censor herself, which I like her a lot this season. So I think she's doing a good job with that.
Well, I hope that censor wears off. I think she'll have to throw it off like coming up. I don't think she'll be able to keep it up. I hope not. Margaret, yeah, with this text, she says, you know, it's weird that you're not here and the girls are, you know, the girls you introduced me to are here, but you're not here and, you know, we should meet in person. So Dolores finds the whole thing very insincere and she's just feeling like Margaret is a sneak that's trying to take Siggy's place in the group, but we all know it means on the show. I don't know, maybe at this point Margaret wasn't a full time. You know, don't they usually like see what kind of content they can get out of these ladies before they like make them full time for the first couple weeks?
Yeah, I think so. And you sort of can pick up on that in the first episode too, because Danielle was very defensive about Margaret. And I think she even said, you know, my feelings were hurt that you were coming in. And what that really reads to me is, you know, they brought me back and I thought I was going to be the Jacqueline replacement and then they bring you on. So that's kind of how I took that. I don't know. I'm just going to say I'm not a huge Dolores fan this season.
No, I don't really care for their friendship. There's a lot of Twitter love for them. Like a lot of people are like, hold on. These assholes are just putting on their horns.
That is Siggy and Dolores outside your house. They know we're talking about them.
I'm hoping it's Danielle.
I'm hoping it's Danielle. That would be amazing.
Anyway, so at the diner, these two bitches get together and, you know, Margaret just wants to clarify. She wants Siggy to clarify what the real problem is. So, of course, Siggy just can't wait to say what's on her mind. And she says she didn't think that it was cool that she didn't get an invite to the beach. And Margaret says it wasn't intentional. Then, like you mentioned earlier, Jonathan, the problem is that Siggy, like you said, it comes down to the fact that Siggy introduced Margaret to this group of women. And Margaret views it as what she said, no big deal. And this really is that switch that Siggy had that set her off. And she ended up having to just give in and saying, you're absolutely right, because she knew she wasn't going to win. But that's what it comes down to, in my opinion. It's just because she brought her into the group and she wasn't loyal to Siggy. She wanted to get in with Teresa.
I agree. I also think this was one of the more entertaining Housewives fights I've watched, just because there was this brief moment where they're trying to one-up each other about Joan Rivers, which was very odd.
Oh, my God. I loved that. I love that they made it sound like she was still alive.
I know. It was like in New York. She's like, I party with John every night. And Dorinda's like, well, John's dead. You know what I mean? It's just
exactly.
May she rest in peace. But it was just sort of like, Siggy's the most talented person in the world. Now Margaret is BFS with Joan Rivers. I mean, this is why you have to love Housewives. I mean, this is quality entertainment.
And I like that at the beginning of the scene, Margaret had a bag with like two of those like clear cellophane, like cheapo gift bags that she was handing out. And then at the end of the scene, they were in Siggy's bag. So we didn't see the handoff, but she gave her the two gifts that she didn't get from the party. I mean, like, even that you could leave at home. It was like the cheap. It's like, you know, if you go to like a 6-year-old's birthday, you know, it was like, this is so cheap looking.
I wonder if that's the Macbeth collection. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't notice it. I think so. Siggy believes that Margaret has no heart, and Margaret says that Dolores is totally a, what kind of person do I have here? Just, oh, like a yes person. I think she is. I mean, like you said, you're having a hard time with Dolores.
I don't like her this season. And I used to think, to be honest, I don't know if I really liked her last season. I used to think that she was loyal to everyone, which means she's loyal to no one. So at least maybe now she's at least just being loyal to Siggy. So I got to give her that. She's ride or die for Siggy and she's not wavering. But it just reads, it's odd to me. And then there was this comment this episode where Joe Gorga's like, we've known her since we were kids.
Yeah.
She's known Siggy for 1 year. Like, I didn't realize their friendship was such a short-term friendship.
I didn't either. I thought they were just good friends. Like, right. You know, it was just part of the group. They've known each other for a while. That's, I believe that's how it was sold to us last year.
Yeah, but now with Joe Gorga's comment, and then even this episode when Dolores was like, I met Siggy when I was getting out of a 5-year relationship, that was happening at the beginning of last season. So I think they might have met on the show last season through Jacqueline.
I think so. That's what it was, because Jacqueline was the connection at the time. That's what it was. I'm so tired of being told how great friends these people are. I mean, it's so obvious. You know what I mean? Like, we're just...
That makes it even more why Teresa's like, I don't understand. I've literally known her since I was a teenager. And why is she always on? Why is she so on Siggy's side? So yeah, I don't know.
Those two are going to have a talk.
Oh, I think they will.
Yeah,
I mean,
think they will.
Well, anyway. Preview for this season does not look good.
No. Siggy cries, of course. Soggy Flicker has returned to the, now she's in the diner, and they both jump to assumptions about one another, and somehow Margaret apologizes and it just kind of all wraps up, and they like share a laugh over it all. So I'm like, okay, all that was for what? I guess the cake is over. And then we cut to the previews and Siggy's polling people about how rude it was about the cake. It goes on and on and on.
Cake Gate, that's what this season is, maybe.
Oh, I hope not the whole season. I'm okay with like 4 episodes. I mean, it has to stop. It has to stop now. I mean, you know, on to the next one. Someone throw something or, you know.
Someone bring a book out, please. It's either desserts or books with these women. Yes. So I'm sure there's some book somewhere they can get mad about.
Yes. Next week, what's her face? Dolores says, welcome back, scumbag, to Danielle. So I thought this was going to be a slow burn. I'm so glad we're not having to suffer through filler. We're just getting like plot, 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 which I like, you know, with, you know, some insanity in between. So I'm still intrigued. I'm still here for New Jersey.
I agree. So, you know, the season was delayed. And
yeah, again,
and there's been a lot of flashback scenes this season. And I think what they did was they figured out where the good footage was. And it's like, they almost just fast. It's like, we're starting in the middle of this season.
Yes.
And when they need to explain something, they flash back to it. And I agree. I would rather have 12 fantastic episodes than 24 painstaking episodes, AKA this season of The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Amen. But, amen. Yes. I know you can boil it down. You can deliver a really good show or a really slow show. I mean, I get it. These production companies, they want to sell as many episodes as they can. It's more money for them, but it's ultimately making everybody look bad. You know, I mean, it really is. It's not a good look. I mean, it's money in their bank account. But, you know, people with OC are just furious. I can't tell you. I talked about it on my most recent episode on this show. I mean, I can't believe how many people are removing the show from their DVR this season.
Yeah, I stopped watching it. But, you know, Jersey couldn't afford to do that. Jersey has had their stumbling seasons. You know, I think season 6 and season 7 were rough for Jersey. And I think that the reason maybe that they pushed sort of into the middle to start in the middle of this season is they were like, let's just deliver a really good show, even if we have to flash back to explain how we got here. And I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
They needed a good season.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we have to come up with some type of hashtag for this episode. What do we want to say? Something about Siggy, or what are you thinking? What stood out to you in this show?
I don't know if that Joan Rivers thing stood out to me so much just because I thought it was so interesting. And also, I just felt like we were in high school. That's all I could do.
Yeah. Partying. We're going to say hashtag partying with Joan 3 times.
Partying with Joan. there we go.
Yes. We'll just do hashtag partying with Joan. I love it. I mean, really, we even had to have photographic evidence and there were pigtails in that photo. Keep in mind, I'm here for it.
The more ridiculous the housewife fight, the more I enjoy it. So that was great for me.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. I love talking housewives with you.
Thank you so much. This was great.
All right. Sounds good. Keep up with us. You can like the podcast on Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk Podcast on Facebook. Keep up with the show and let us know. I want to know your thoughts. You can tweet both Jonathan and myself. His Twitter information will be in the information surrounding this episode. Let us know your thoughts on tonight's episode and use the hashtag partying with Joan. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Grant's Rant Small Talk. Want more? Join the full conversation on Grant's Rant's Hollywood Talk Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and in the links below.